Hoe kan jouw organisatie verbeteren? Hoe zorg je voor collega's die gelukkiger zijn? En hoe geef je zelf vorm aan je carrière? Je hoort het allemaal op het podcastkanaal New Business Radio Work. Met wetenschappelijke inzichten en de beste praktijkvoorbeelden. Check je favoriete podcastplatform en abonneer je op New Business Radio Work.
Bestemming bereikt? Of zijn we nog even onderweg? Dit is Smart Mobility met Marco Maréchal.
Goedemiddag, welkom bij de laatste uitzending voordat we de zomervakantie daadwerkelijk ingaan. Smart Mobility, the future is now. Waarin ik een beetje anticiperend op het mooie weer, ik ben nog blijmoedig daarin, heb ik het land uitgekozen, India. Een land waar ik de laatste jaren goed op ingezet heb op het gebied van Smart Mobility, Smart City. Verschillende congressen daarin heb bezocht. En ook daar veel tijd en energie in steek. India, een land wat een wereldmacht is en een wereldmacht gaat worden. Behoorlijk ambitieus. Zeker op het gebied van innovatie, nieuwe ontwikkelingen. Smart Mobility, Smart Cities. Een aantal landen en steden binnen India die behoorlijk enthousiast bezig zijn. Een niet te onderschatten wereldmacht in het geheel. Een aantal jaren geleden is er een handelsmissie geweest naar India met de koning en koningin. Het interview gaat plaatsvinden met Venkat. Hij is werkzaam bij Arcadis in India. Een van de leading progress in het geheel. Dus ik wens jullie heel veel plezier met deze laatste uitzending. Venkat, kom er maar in. Stel jezelf maar even voor.
Namaste to everyone from India. And this is Venkat here, and I work for Arcadis, which is a Netherlands firm. And professionally, I'm a traffic and transportation systems engineer, and have been working in India most of my career for almost like 25 years now. And then I've been involved with multiple mobility projects and large scale projects to small scale projects, which focuses on improving the quality of travel for road users. So that's primarily one of my inspirations and motivations for having stuck to this industry in traffic and transportation.
Okay, and how long do you work for Arcadis?
Pardon?
How long do you work for Arcadis?
Arcadis, it's last 2 years I'm with Arcadis.
Yeah.
But Arcadis acquired this firm called IBI Group in September 2022.
Yeah.
And called IBI Group. And I've been with IBI Group for about more than 8 years now.
Okay.
So since last 2 years, we are part of the Arcadis group.
Yeah. 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 That's great. Yeah. And your background, what did you study?
I studied traffic and transportation systems engineering.
Yeah.
So I did my graduation in civil engineering, and then I went ahead to do my master's in transportation systems engineering.
Yeah.
And since then, I've been working in different capacities, in mostly in traffic and transportation projects.
Yeah.
With all modes, primarily. I was most of my career I'm in road transport, but yep. I've been working with ports, I've been working with airports, did a couple of projects in waterways, did projects in aviation and metro rail, etc. So I've been lucky to have got to work with great people. Yep. And I've been trained under them, so that's how I am.
Yeah, yeah. So how big is the team you are working with within Arcadis at this moment?
Yeah, I'm actually leading the India practice for its intelligence GBA.
Yep.
It constitutes close to about 180 people specific to intelligence GBA, but overall Arcadis in India has about total 2,000 plus people.
Okay.
Almost close to about 1,800 people. They are part of our Global Excellence Center who support international projects. And we are actually close to about 300 people working in different areas, primarily supporting India projects.
Yeah.
Out of which 180 are part of the intelligence GBA, mm-hmm. and we have another 80 to 100 people who are part of the software development team that we actually have here.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And you live in the middle of India, right? Or
I live in South India. It's
yeah.
a city called Bangalore. It's a Silicon Valley of India.
It has to be. So you also have, let's have a look at India as a country. Because you recently also have the elections. I think it will,
yes.
it took about 3 months. When yes. we have elections, it will take 24 days. So that's great. You took a little bit longer, but tell me, as India as a country.
Yeah. So India is one of the world's most populous country now. I think with about 1.4 billion population, we have even surpassed China recently.
Yeah.
So we are the largest populated. So while population is high, we also one of the biggest advantages. Brighter side of the story is we have the best demographic dividends, I should say, that
okay.
the median age of India is about 28 years.
Yeah.
Now, you compare it with China or other countries, it's almost like 36, 38 years and 47 years across Europe. And that's how we actually have that advantage. And diversity is one of the biggest things that you see when you travel across the length and breadth of the country. We have diverse cultures,
yep.
and almost like different languages are actually spoken,
yeah.
Different dialects and multicultures and different size of cities that you actually go through. So that's how we are in India,
yeah. right?
And coming to specific to the domain in which I'm actually working. So from that point of view, we have urbanization trends. If you look at currently, we are actually about 33% close to urbanization we have compared to, I think, the global urbanization trends. I'm told about it's around 60 plus. And that way, we actually see a lot of urbanization trends picking up in the times to come,
yeah.
and that's one of the reason why about 5-6 years back we actually have got this smart city program started by the government then. Almost like 8 years, I think it's like we've got the program run and then it is substantially completed now. And we are now trying to take it to the next level also.
Yeah.
So the focus is on urbanization. And from that point of view, if you also see, India has been pioneering a lot of digital transformation projects. And if you look at few of the foundational technologies that have been adopted for identity creation with our Aadhaar, being one of the largest tech projects and one of the most successful projects that you see, plus use of, as you rightly mentioned, we actually had 7-phase elections.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and most of these elections and all these elections are actually done through electronic voting machines.
Really?
Right?
Okay.
And yes, these are all electronic voting machines.
Yeah.
And one of the highly secured devices that itself, we can talk more on that part, but I think that's something, one of the best parts I could actually see is that we use tech to every aspect of our public service.
Yeah.
We actually have a unified payment interface. A digital payment system, I'm sure you would have heard about it. And we are one of the largest daily digital transactions that we do in India through UPI, right?
Yeah.
So, tech adoption has been one of the largest in India. And And that's one of the prime reasons why government also drives its citizen-centric schemes or direct benefit transfer schemes are also run directly to their bank accounts. And that's something is one of the important things to look at. And that's broadly what we at India are.
Yeah. Yeah, because in the Netherlands, when we are voting, we still do it on paper because of the authenticity. And you have to be sure that the vote is the vote from the person, even though it's anonymous and is secured in that way. So there was a lot of debate about electrifying and do it by computer in the Netherlands. So we don't do it at this moment because we believe at this point that it's not good enough. But you're already doing it because there's such a lot of people. You have to, otherwise you will be counting until 2040 the votes. Is there a shifting in the politics? Because what are the results of the election at this moment, and how does it affect the area of smart mobility, smart city progress?
Fortunately, there has not been any big change in the government, and the same Bharatiya Janata Party has actually won the and its coalition has actually won the majority.
Yep.
Though despite they were actually expecting that they would get majority by itself, but that didn't happen.
Okay.
So that's been a big change from what has been in the past.
Yeah.
But however, most of the government continue to be the same government.
Yeah.
And Narendra Modi continues to lead the government on the helm of the affairs, and his party continues to be the main major party.
Yeah.
So that's how what we see is that the most of the schemes that they have initiated would continue to be running and continued, and especially the smart city and smart mobility initiatives that they have taken up would continue to be moving forward. And of course, mobility continues to receive a major funding and major push from the government is what is being expected this time as well, because urban mobility and regional commute is what is going to drive the economy of the country in any way. That's something that the government also strongly believes in.
Yeah. And which areas of India is the most innovative areas? Or is it New Delhi or Mumbai or your area? Are there specific areas in the country?
Yeah. From the tech point of view, what I see is the south portion of India, like you talk about Bangalore, Hyderabad, Chennai, and these cities have been driving the tech in a big way.
Yep.
And north has been catching up, but I think till the southern cities are driving this tech transformations, and you have largest number of tech employees in South India, right? So that's one of the key indicators that you can actually look at.
Okay, great. So next, after a little bit of a short break, we're going to talk to Venkat about the smart city, smart mobility projects they have in India. Stay tuned.
Bestemming bereikt? Of zijn we nog even onderweg? Dit is Smart Mobility met Marco Maréchal.
So with us is Venkat from Akadas from India. We're talking about smart mobility, smart city. Let's step into the current situation. You said that you have a smart city policy at this moment, and also wrapped it up. What's the content of that smart mobility strategy?
Yeah. From the point of view of smart mobility, which is also the part of the smart city initiative of the government of India, there has been a big push for the public transport adoption across these cities, because traffic congestion is one of the major problems faced by most of the cities in India. And in order to address that, government has been investing heavily in developing metro rail network across its most of the cities. And so far, I think all the major metros have metro network, and almost like another 14 cities total. In total, I think we have 18 to 19 cities which are actually embarking on developing metro rail network. And apart from metro rail network, the bus public transport is also getting a big push as part of the smart city, because metro rail network development is not part of the smart city program, but however it is part of the urban mobility and have a development plan. And but however, adoption of public transport through buses has been a big push through the smart mobility smart city program. And one of the important initiatives also they have taken is electrification of the buses. Right, that is getting a big push also in the recent past from the government through these smart city scheme. Apart from that, what I actually see is there's a lot of almost every other smart city have been implementing intelligent traffic management system, which comprises of traffic signal, traffic signals at junctions, and violation enforcement systems. They are actually deploying the variable message boards for sharing the information across to the commuters. And there are a lot of IT initiatives for enhancing the travel experience of commuters on a day-to-day basis. Apart from this, one of the important concerns that we are going through today, or a problem that we are going through today in urban mobility, is also about the safety. And there's been a lot of accidents, and almost across the road network in India, we almost have about close to 400 fatalities every day to that extent. So, and we are among the top few, top five countries with the number of accidents per lakh population. And that's one important thing that the government is also driving, and I'm expecting a big push coming in from the new government on improving the safety scenario in the country as well. So, and majority, almost like you can actually see 15 to 16% people getting killed in road accidents are pedestrians. So pedestrians, and almost like another 6 to 7% are cyclists. So almost like you have about 20+% people who are getting killed are belonging to non-motorized transport. So non-motorized transport is going to get a big push, what I understand from the people whom I've spoken to. So they are going to encourage more last and first mile connectivity through non-motorized transport for the public transport terminals. And of course, setting up of the infrastructure is also one of the big criterias for the city authorities to build more roads and equitable roads. Because the smart road infrastructure is one thing which has actually got a good push as part of the smart city program, and I am sure we have got good lessons learned, and we have got a good feedback on this particular aspect. So smart road infrastructure is another big investment areas for the government to look forward to.
Yeah, because when I landed for the first time in India, I think about 2 years ago, attending as a keynote speaker to be part of the Congress in India, the Expo. It looks a little bit chaotic when you are, there are rules, but they are not written. It looks a little bit of chaotic, the traffic. So how are you going to reverse that in the next couple of years with the smart city strategy? What are your thoughts about that?
Okay, so I think there are two, three initiatives that the authorities are actually looking at, primarily to address the congestion problem at bay, right? So you're asking about the congestion issue in the urban areas, right?
Yeah.
So I'll share one of the classic examples of Bangalore city.
Yeah.
Bangalore about 2 years back was world's second ranked city 2 years back on the TomTom traffic congestion index.
Okay.
And even today, if you talk to anyone on their Bangalore experience, they will all talk about nightmares of traffic congestion on the streets.
Yes.
Right. So I think if I would like to give you an example, and that's the city which I'm staying in, and we are also working with the city. Recently, we started off about 6 months back. We started working with the city also in supporting them in addressing the traffic congestion problem, right?
Yeah.
So like many other cities, they are actually trying to see how we can actually use tech to address this particular issue.
Yeah.
While they all understand that tech is not an end and it's only a means to an end.
Sure.
And that's something that we have been driving it across all the forums. So technology is getting used to collect the data and about the commute trends and use the data also to understand the congestion problem, the gravity of the problem, and to understand how recurring is the problem and what are the non-recurring issues which are causing congestion problems, and which are the corridors which are highly congested, and which are the infrastructure related issues which are causing congestion, which are the people related issues that are causing congestion, which are the process related things that are causing congestion. So the whole focus is actually now going on introspecting and trying to quantify, assess the situation on the ground, and then formulate mitigation measures which actually address those root cause problems rather than symptomatic treatments.
Yes.
So what we have done in Bangalore very recently is that we have set up a big data platform for them to collect the data from various third party sources.
Yeah.
So what we are doing is we are collecting the data from its on street cameras. We are collecting data from all the map service providers who are actually gathering the mobility data. We are also collecting data from the e-commerce service providers. We are collecting data from the cab service providers. So we are collecting data from the IT companies to talk about frequency of people coming in and going out and quantum of people coming in and going out and by what mode they are coming in and going out. So we are sourcing the data from multiple sources and especially crowdsourced data and trying to arrive some insights from this data as to where the problem is and giving them a better situational awareness and so that they are actually able to design the right kind of a solution for the problem. And what we are doing is with a collaborative mechanism, we are designing the solutions.
Yep.
It could be small solutions, it could be large solutions, and short-term solutions, it could be long-term solutions. What we are doing is we are simulating them on a traffic simulation platform and trying to show them how this particular scheme or this particular improvement is going to address the issue on the ground.
Yeah.
And then we are actually able to give them a visual experience of how this particular solution is going to address the problem on the ground. And then if we have to tweak it around to meet the requirements or achieve better results, we are able to tweak the solution and then take it to the ground rather than ideating and directly taking it to the ground.
Yeah. Right?
So that's one of the transformative changes that we are trying to bring it to the traffic police in the city of Bangalore, and I'm sure this is getting adopted and this is going to find the light of the day with other people as well.
Yes. Right?
The other important thing that we are doing is we are now trying to see how we are able to share this information to the road users at early stage.
Yeah.
So that they can make their travel decisions accordingly.
Yeah.
Right? The other important thing that we are doing is we are actually trying to see how emergency vehicles, ambulances, don't get stuck in the traffic jam. So in the traffic jam. So the we have created a mobile app which will actually all the mobile ambulance users would come on board through that application. This has done the pilots and we are now rolling it out in a big way.
Yeah.
We have done with a private hospital in Bangalore and it has been very successful.
Yeah.
So it will give you the route of the ambulance the moment they start.
Yeah.
And we have integrated it with the attendance management system of the traffic police.
Mm-hmm.
So we know exactly at what junction which traffic police is deployed. And to his mobile, we are pushing the data to expect an ambulance in next 2 minutes and in which direction he need to clear the traffic so that the ambulance can actually seamlessly pass through. Unfortunately, the signaling system in Bangalore is a bit old and it cannot be monitored at centrally and it cannot be managed through the central system. So which is now they have also awarded recently, they have awarded a contract and fortunately we have got the contract. And we are implementing that and it could take another 6 to 8 months for us before we have all the signals, at least 50% of the signals converted into adaptive signals.
Yeah.
So once we have them, then we are able to give green channel or green corridor to them automatically from the central control room.
But
till that time, we actually devise this mobile application for us to facilitate the seamless movements.
Yes.
So that's how we are actually facilitating the mobility or addressing the mobility challenges.
Yeah.
Right. Other important thing that we also did was in Bangalore, we gave a bot, mobile app based bot, through which the traffic police are able to report the ground incidents and also share the status of the incidents live directly on through their bot. To their central command control center.
Yeah.
And that is actually helping them to understand the congestion issue is local or is it coming from the neighborhood junctions, right? Is the congestion because of an accident or is it because of a breakdown, right? And one of the insights that we realized was majority of the traffic bottlenecks incidents are being caused because of the vehicle breakdowns happening in the city.
Yeah.
And 70% of them are public transport buses.
Yeah.
Right? And another 30% are the trucks, commercial vehicles.
Yeah.
Right? So we are now trying to take this problem to the different stakeholders and then tell them, educate them on through the data and then trying to seek solutions as to how we can avoid these consequences and at least we can give some sort of a relief to the commuters on the streets.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Another important thing that came up during our assessment was 30% of the street capacities are actually getting choked because of the encroachments and illegal parking happening on the streets. Right? And if you are able to remove those things and or address the problem or move them away from the street capacity, the large amount of 30% of the street capacities are getting
used,
brought to use, and that itself will help in addressing the problem of congestion. So bottom line, what we are doing is we are trying to use the people capacities, we are trying to use the technology capacities, and also we are trying to use how we can leverage the collaboration from multi-agencies to see how we can address this growing congestion problem.
Yes.
In the city like Bangalore, and I'm sure this is how most of the cities are also going to be in the days to come.
Yeah. Sounds great, because on one side you got like the clever traffic lights, so technology, yes, and investment in the technology. Also looking at the different kind of roads and the capacity of those roads, but also looking at the human behavior. I did a project in the Netherlands with truck and tram people who are on the tram, and the conductors on the tram, and also in the truck. So the next phase, besides of these ingredients, was when you drive 30 kilometers or 20 kilometers, or they get it real time on the dashboard, and they have to stick to that that pace, so 20 or 25 or 30 kilometers, and they could drive in that manner, then they got green signs and the traffic is going really, really slow. Last point is the most difficult one, because people were saying, I'm on this track for the last 20, 30 years. I know how to drive. Don't tell me what is the number of kilometers I have to drive, because I know how to drive that. And that getting a grasp, so human behavior for the next phase, so they will comply with what they see on their dashboard. That was the most difficult thing, because people can be stubborn.
correct. No, in fact, this is exactly which reminds me of the situation what we have come across in Bangalore also.
Yeah.
People have a fixed mind and a fixed route of their travel.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want to change from the, even if it is congested, they would not want to change.
No.
Right? So we are now trying to ease a lot of the corridors. We have identified about 22 corridors on a first phase. We have identified, and most of these corridors, people are fixated using these corridors for their daily commute.
Yeah.
They don't want to change.
No.
There are alternative roads.
It's a tunnel vision. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always do it like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's going to be a challenge to slightly have a look at that, and tell people that, and also experience that maybe because of the actual traffic jams or things that happen in real time, they can have a look at different kind of roads will take them easier, but they have to do it. Well, sounds great, sounds amazing in that area. So next, we're talking about the future, not your future, but the future of India, and have a look at that. Stay tuned.
Bestemming bereikt, of zijn we nog even onderweg? Dit is Smart Mobility met Marco Maréchal.
So, talking to Venkat from Acadis India in this podcast. One of the statements of the former Minister of Transport from India was, we want to be the most innovative country in the world, not only population-wise and education-wise, but also in the area of smart city, smart mobility. He didn't say a number. He didn't say 2030 or tomorrow, so that's going to be interesting. What does that mean?
Yeah, okay. See, I think when we talk about making it a smart mobility, future mobility in India, there are investments that are actually being planned in three different segments.
Yeah.
So one is in the area of road safety, what I told you, right? The second is in the area of public transport, right? And third is in the area of infrastructure.
Yeah.
Right. And when we club all these things, when I talk it of a digital mobility, what we call. So what I'm realizing is setting up of a digital platform like digital twin, a mobility digital twin, would be the future of urban transport, what I could actually see.
Yeah.
And in terms of highways, what I realize is that there are going to be tech investments in highway traffic management systems. That's one of the big investments that are actually expected to come in the coming months and years to come. We almost have close to I should actually say about 70 to 80,000 kilometer of road network, highway road network we actually have.
Yeah.
Which connects different states, and hardly even 10% of that roads are actually digitized.
Yeah.
I mean, you have safety systems set up, like traffic management systems installed.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be a huge investments that are going to be coming up in that domain, because that also adds to enhancing the safety on those roads. Because these tech systems help in two ways. One, it is actually identifying the incidents well in advance, and then making sure the response times are actually fast. People are actually able to respond to those incidents and saving the lives of the victims. Second, we are actually having these data, near miss data is also available for us, and the incident data is also available, which helps us in creating mitigation measures.
Yeah.
It also helps in identifying those black spots and problematic areas or geometric issues or human behavioral issues or whatsoever, and we can fix them.
Yeah.
So it gives us a lot of scope for preventive measures also.
Right? Yeah.
That is on the mobility side, in terms of safety enhancement systems. In terms of the city, I was actually telling you, the investments are going to be high on traffic management systems,
yep.
Signal management systems, the asset management systems, and also in terms of violation enforcement systems.
Yeah.
Right. And we also are going to have digital twins coming up,
yeah,
or evaluating the mobility scenarios of the future, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the nearby future. And what is your personal end goal? What do you think that is going to be like, the goal for the next 8 years for yourself? What do you really want to see? What is your dream?
Dream is, of course, want to see cities getting rid of congestion. But I think it's like a long drawn dream.
Yeah.
But one thing definitely, what I would like to be contributing to most of the urban areas and even into the highway segment is that I would like to be involved in solving the ground congestion problem and the safety problem. So I would like to be associated with the authorities realizing the dream of a safe and congestion-free travel on its roads.
Yeah.
And of course, we are also, I would also envisage that in the 5 to 8 years horizon, we are also going to see a lot of public transport enhancements,
yep,
system enhancements, and we would see a good amount of shift that could happen from the private vehicles to the public transport. And we also envisage that there will be good amount of infrastructure improvements that would actually happen, facilitating the last and first mile connectivity to the public transport and roads becoming congestion free and also safe for regular commute.
Yeah, yeah. It's also an aim for you, because in Europe and Australia there is like mobility as a service concepts. Is that an end goal?
Yes.
Also for you?
Yes. And I think
I share a different view on mobility as a service, specifically for India. Good that you brought this topic. So primarily, I met one of the gentlemen during my last visit to Amsterdam,
yep.
and who was working extensively. Apart from you, he was also another gentleman whom I met. And mobility as a service, as a concept, is primarily driving the freedom of movement of people.
Yes.
Right? So rather than getting fixated for a specific mode to facilitate mobility as a service,
yeah.
what I would like to prescribe is that we would like to enhance the freedom of people's movement by giving them mobility at their doorstep,
yep.
service at their doorstep. It could be a electric vehicle.
Yep.
It could be a kind of a cab,
mm-hmm.
or it could be a shared drive, or it could be a bicycle,
yep.
or for them to go to the nearest public transport, or whatever the freedom that they would like to choose for, what
yep.
time they would want to move, which mode that they would want to move,
yep.
and to which destination that they would want to move,
yep.
and at what time, right?
Yeah.
So if you are able to address the degrees of freedom,
yeah.
that itself would be the primary objective of a good mobility as a service system,
yeah.
right? Conventionally, what I've seen is the way it is being currently thought through in India is that they would want to associate mobility as a service only with public transport,
okay.
right? So, but what I realize is public transport systems in India are not built to the demand that is actually there on the ground.
Yeah, at this
right?
moment.
So
yeah.
it still needs to grow a lot in its network and its capacities. So till such time, what we need to do is we can't ignore the mobility needs of the people
yep.
and the thirst for a freedom of movement. So from that point of view, we are working with a couple of partners in India as to how we can design the mobility as a service applications
yep.
to provide freedom of movement and the choice to be available to the people who want to move or commute in the cities.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I did some large survey about those kind of concepts among citizens, but also about stakeholders. That's why I, based on that, I wrote a book about mobility as a service. And it slightly needs a little bit more than, because you have to go to an experience for people.
Correct.
So you have to add a couple of things. Except from the different kind of transport means you want to have, but it is definitely a good phrase that it's freedom of movement.
So
I like that. That's a good title for the next book. But anyway, a last statement, Venkat, at the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
What do you want to say about the next steps for people?
Yeah, I think three things. One, I think they need to be conscious about the impact that they would actually be causing,
yep.
both on the climate and the community,
yep.
Of their mobility decisions, because
yep.
this is oriented towards mobility. So I think every one of us have to ask ourselves as to whether this decision of mine, of this mobility decision of mine, how it's going to impact the future generations to come, especially from the community and the climate point of view.
Yep.
And whether buying a vehicle or making a trip decision or choice of buying a house or choice of working at a place or whatsoever. Second important, I think, is about our ability or willingness to actually share the data, not the personal, but the anonymized data
yep.
to the authorities for the better decision making.
Yep.
So they need to come forward to willfully share the data, agree to share the data, so that they are part of the collaborative effort of improving the mobility situation in their own areas of living.
Yep.
Right. And last and the most important is, I think we have a responsibility towards all of us have a responsibility towards the deprived or the people who are less privileged. So I think some way or the other, we all need to see how we can make a contribution towards the enhancement of their lives, of the deprived or underprivileged people in our own communities.
Yes.
I think through, of course, better decisions of what we talked about in the past. So I think these three things that I would like to place on record with you. Yeah.
I fully agree with that. So thank you very much, Venkat from India. And thank you for sharing your thoughts on these topics.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Bestemming bereikt? Of zijn we nog even onderweg? Dit is Smart Mobility met Marco Maréchal.